You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 1pm with Natalie Kerry, Kevin O'Malley and Ross Briley in the studio. It's National Hunt action from air, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. Two meetings this Monday. We're going to look ahead to that in a moment or two. And right now my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Feeling slightly sad today, Mark Walton.
Why is that?
The prospect of Barrow away next season is finally starting to hit home.
York City.
Yeah. Tailed off at the bottom of League Two.
Yeah. Could be worse. Could be a Leeds fan.
Mate, I have to endure them every single week, so it's double trouble for me, yeah. Unfortunately.
What you need is a distraction. And the racing is quite a good distraction most of the time.
It is in March, yeah. Certainly looking forward to that.
Yeah, we've got a Monday jury to look at, which focuses quite heavily on the anti-post markets for the Cheltenham Festival, so we'll get stuck into that to start with. The first question: would you go RSA or National Hunt Chase with Black Hercules? We've got betting on site for both of those races. Black Hercules 5-1 favourite for the National Hunt Steeplechase, and he is 12-1 for the RSA.
Yeah, I think I'd go National Hunt Chase. He jumped really, really well at Warwick. Obviously, you got the five fences down the back, which take a little bit of jumping, and he jumped them with aplomb. If you look at the RSA chase, I think there's only going to be one winner there. No More Heroes has looked really impressive this season so far. Probably should have won at the festival last year in a well-trodden route for the Jigginstown horses. So No More Heroes is going to take all the beating in the RSA. I think the National Hunt chase, certainly on paper, looks the easier option. He wasn't stopping over 3 miles in very testing ground at Warwick, yep, on what is a stiff track. So I don't think there'll be any problem with him getting the trip. Paddy Mullins, I'm sure, will be in the ear of his father to try and get him to run there. Obviously, they've got Wada Frank, who Mullins has as well as Pont Alexandra, who met each other at the weekend. Wada Frank came on top that day. I think we're 8-1, both of those, for the National Hunt Chase. Of the two, I think Wada Frank will go for the RSA. And I think Pont Alexandra, the way he battled back, yeah, on that ground, it was only his second run in 2 years. I think he'll go down the National Hunt Chase route. But of all three horses in the National Hunt Chase, I'd certainly be jumping with Black Hercules. Really, really impressive at Warwick. Wasn't stopping over 3 miles in very testing ground. Jumped the five fences down the back very comfortably indeed. And it was pretty decent opposition. He put firmly in their place at the weekend. So I'd be going down the National Hunt Chase route. Certainly looks the easiest of the two options. But Willie Mullins has got that many horses in that many races. It's just where they decide to go. But I think they'll probably be tempted to stick with the National Hunt Chase.
Yeah. All right, National Hunt Chase for Black Hercules, and in Ollie's opinion. The second question is, do you like Lamy Surge for either the Arkle or the JLT Novices Chase? Lamy Surge is currently 12-1 for the JLT and is 8-1 second favourite for the Arkle.
Once again, I think it comes down to the easier race, Mark. The Arkle looks like it's going to cut up. Duvan's already 4-6 favourite.
Yep.
He's going to take a hell of a lot of beating on the form we knew last season and what he's shown this year so far. So I think they'll go down the JLT Novices Chase option. Obviously, it was 2.5 mile at the weekend. Had no problems at all that day. He's beaten nothing, really, has he? I mean, he beat one rival at Plumpton on his debut of offences. Beat four at the weekend, but effectively it was only really one in Run Ruction's Run, who at best is listed class, a good handicapper. So she's a good mare, Run Ruction's Run, but he's going to be taking on a lot better horses, certainly in the Kingmaker, which is his next aim in a month's time. Well, we'll know a little bit more. Certainly Daryl Jacob was impressed with him at the weekend, but I think they'll probably go down the JLT route because the Arkle looks a one-horse race. It's going to be very, very difficult to beat Duvan. So I think they'll go down the JLT route, but couldn't have done anything more at the weekend, but bigger and better things, I think, at the Kingmaker and then on to Cheltenham await him.
Yeah, we'll learn more in the Kingmaker for definite. Is Easy Hunting the winner, So Royal, one to consider for the Triumph?
He is one to consider, but I just don't think he's quite classy enough. I think off a mark of 144, which he won off at the weekend, he'd probably be a better option in the Fred Winter off top weightish. He's got plenty of experience, already had the six runs. Catch It had six runs when he won it. I think Countrywide Flame had at least that. So if, in terms of trends for Triumph Hurdle winners. I think it pays to have a little bit of experience, but I think Ivanovic, Gorbatov of Aidan O'Brien is going to take a lot of beating in that race. The form was again franked at the weekend. The horse that was third behind him on debut bolted up at the weekend, and it firmly put that in its place. On debut, Ivanovic, Gorbatov, there's very positive signs coming out of the O'Brien camp with that one. So he certainly looks to be the classiest individual in Triumph. So Royal, obviously he can only go out and win, and he's improved with every run so far, but I think he's more of a galloper than anything. I don't think he's quite classy enough to win a Triumph Hurdle, but obviously he's got plenty of experience. We've seen in the past with Catch It and Countrywide Flame. Yep. It does pay to have plenty of experience going to a Triumph Hurdle, but I just don't think he'll be quite good enough. I think they'll be tempted to go to the Fred Winter.
All right. Daryl Jacob is one of the pundits in the Monday jury, and he's very impressed with Sir Ryle. He says he must be one of the fastest jumpers he's ever ridden. He didn't put a foot wrong, and he says he thinks he's the best of the British challengers, but it's the Irish challengers.
Yeah,
the problem,
it's the Irish challengers we're going to be worried about. William Mullins has not released any real high-profile Irish challengers yet as well, so I think we might not have even seen the Triumph Hurdle winner on a racetrack yet.
Yeah.
So plenty of water to go under the bridge, but I think in terms of the Triumph Hurdle, Ivanovic Gorbatov at the minute certainly sets a very high standard.
Ivanovic Gorbatov is 3-1 market leader for the Triumph at the moment. It's 14-1 bar the Aidan O'Brien runner, and So Royal in the market at 16-1 at the moment. What did you make of Don Cossack's victory in the Kinloch Bray?
Well, he didn't win it like a 1-8 shot should, did he? Because it was under pressure at numerous times. He's turned into a little bit of a Don Polly. Yeah. He runs very lazily now. Gordon Elliott has come out and said that they've tried him with cheap pieces at home, and he flew with them. So I think they'll definitely reach for them at Cheltenham. Also, I think going left-handed is going to suit him. He jumped markedly the wrong way, going right-handed in the Kinloch Bray. He also jumped out to his left in the King George as well. So back going on a left-handed track, I think, will suit. Probably in a better race where they go a little bit quicker and he's something to aim at. The atmosphere, cheap pieces, you'd hope that eke out a little bit more improvement. But on his display in the Kinloch Bray, it's very hard to see him win the Gold Cup. I think he's crying out for cheap pieces, as is Don Polly. But I think we've got a special on the website. What will Brian Cooper choose of the Jigginstown horses, Don Polly or Don Cossack? And I think he'd have to go with Don Polly at the minute. I think he's even money Don Polly, 8-11 Don Cossack. But I think Don Polly's definitely the value bet there. A lot less exposed. They've always thought he's a Gold Cup horse, whereas Don Cossack's been there and done it and still not won a Gold Cup, and he's racing a lot more lazier than he did in his previous day. So unless those cheap pieces eke out a lot of improvement, I find it hard for him to win a Gold Cup. So that might be a little bit of value, looking at Brian Cooper to ride Don Polly at even money rather than Don Cossack in the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Yeah, it was on the site on Sunday. I'm just seeing if it's still there. I can't see it at the moment, but just keep
sure
an eye on
pop
see, if
back,
it, yeah, see if it goes back up. I think I disagree with you slightly there. I think he'll ride Don Cossack. I think he's just got that little bit of class. I think if they put the cheek pieces on him, I know Don Polly's going to have a massive chance there, but I think Brian Cooper will ride Don Cossack personally.
If we go for a match bet on the day then, Mark, I'd go with Don Polly. I think if I had the choice of riding the two, I'd go with Don Polly.
Yeah, well, you have ridden considerably more horses than I have, so probably best to rely on yourself there.
Not quite as many as good as Don Cossack or Don Polly, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately so, yeah. Fifth question, the penultimate question of this week's Monday jury. Does Willie Mullins' domination of Festival Antipost markets excite you or bore you?
I'm not sure it excites the William Hill odds compilers because he's got so many horses and so many different races. It's pretty hard to price up the races. As well as that, there's so many accumulators, especially on the first day running up. He could have a winner in every single race on the first day. Min's already even money in the Supreme. You've got so many short prices. Annie Power, of course, Forheen, all on day one.
Duvan as well,
another short price. So he strikes fear into the bookmakers' hearts. I think it's quite exciting for a punter. A lot of people, we saw it last year, did the accumulator on day one, just let down by a last hurdle form from Annie Power. So I think, I don't think the domination of Willie Mullins is boring. Obviously, it is a little bit for Irish punters where he's got three in the same race and you've only five or six runners. But when it comes to the big races such as Aintree and Cheltenham, I think certainly Cheltenham, it is exciting because on day one, he could well go through the card, which is unheard of, really.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's incredibly impressive as well that he's got such strength in depth in nearly every race. It's phenomenal, isn't
it? You have to just doff your cap to him because he comes across as a thoroughly nice chap.
Yeah.
Certainly not got to his head all this success. And you've got to look, what is he doing different to others? It's clearly he's got a very good guy who sources his talent.
Yeah.
And his training methods obviously work very well.
Yeah, I mean, Min didn't even...
He hadn't won. He'd raced twice and had run poorly. And
didn't cost an awful lot either. So.
Prior to it running, they'd punted it off the board to the Supreme Novices. So clearly they saw something which the previous trainers hadn't, and the guy who's buying the horses in France clearly spotted the talent as well.
Yeah, very shrewd operation, and that is something of an understatement as well. Finally, the final question of this week's Monday Jory: do whip rules for jump racing need amending? We chatted in quite length about this on Sunday's show, didn't we? And what did you make of it? What was the summary then, Ollie?
I'm of the opinion that the jump rules should have two more hits.
Yeah,
I think if you've got seven for a 5 furlong race, which is over a minute on good ground,
yep,
and you've got one more for a 3.5 mile chase in heavy ground, doesn't really add up for me.
No,
but I do think if you go over the limit, my strong opinion is you should be chucked out, because then
it'd stop it happening.
It'd stop the big races likes of Paddy Brennan on Q Card, the huge fines. But you'd feel, well, I know the Ruby Walsh went over it with Vettori as well, so you'd have Alfarov winning there.
Yeah.
But the fact if the jockeys knew prior to the race, if I hit this on more than 8 occasions, I'm going to be chucked out, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I think the main thing is it just needs to be a higher number, doesn't it? If you're having to niggle a 3.5 mile chase around for half of the race, you're going to need more than 8. And to have 7 in a 5 furlong race, it just doesn't make any sense.
And to be fair to the stewards, Danny Mullins went over the limit on Thomas Hobson at the weekend, and they had a little bit of discretion. He didn't batter it. He raced pretty lazily, didn't he, Thomas Hobson, over the last 2 or 3 hurdles. So the discretion is a good thing in one way, but I think if it's in black and white, such as the French rules for interference, you know your fate.
Yeah.
And then there'd be a lot... Well, there might be a few disgruntled punters, but if the jockeys know going out there, we can only hit this horse 8 times or 10 times or 12 times, if you go over that limit, you're going to lose the race, then you know where you stand.
Yeah.
At the minute, there's too many vagaries in the rules.
Yeah, fair enough. That's the Monday Jory then for another week. Just a couple of other things I want to touch on before we get stuck into Tuesday's racing. Victoria Pendleton completed a point-to-point over the weekend, finishing 4th. We know that she's going to probably ride Pasha de Polder in the Fox Hunters. What do you make of it?
Well, it's a very good ride to get. It was second in the Fox Hunters last year. To one of Ender Bulger's horses, so it's a very good ride to get. It's already qualified, so she doesn't need to win any ladies' opens or hunter chases on it.
Yep.
She's going to have a few spins on Chloe Roddick's Charge prior to the race as well. Andy Stewart owns it. It's a very good ride to get, and she did complete her first point-to-point yesterday, finishing 4th. They're trying to get as much experience into her as they can. I think there's no doubt she's going to ride in the Fox Hunters. I think the sponsors have invested that much money into her. I don't think it'd be great publicity. I think it'd be great publicity if she did turn up in the Fox Hunters, to be fair. It's a good achievement what she's achieved so far. So I think it would be good to the sport if she turned up. There might be a few people, I mean, if she managed to win it, it'd be very unlikely, I think. But if she did manage to win it, I think there'd be a few disgruntled people. But even so, in terms of the sport, I think it can only bring positive publicity. And they weren't going to put her on a horse with no chance in the Fox Hunters, were they? So Pasha de Polder, she's got a plum ride there, has to be said.
Mm. One jockey we won't see at the Cheltenham Festival, unfortunately, is Paul Carberry. He's suffered a fall at home. He's broken the leg that he was recovering from. He's rebroken his leg, basically. It's terrible news for him, isn't it?
He had the Cheltenham Festival firmly set in his sights for his comeback, and he's rebroken it. Just hopefully that's not the last we see of Paul, because he's had a number of bad injuries over the years. Let's hope that we see him back on a racetrack pretty soon.
Yeah, I suppose the good news with it is it's not broken in the same place, so it's not a weakness in the break. It's just
a very weak leg all round now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, though. So we wish him a speedy recovery. Anything else on your mind, Ollie, before we move on?
Just looking at the JLT, I mentioned this yesterday, I think Sizing John's a big price, 12-1. I don't think they'll go down the Arkle route now. They've taken on Duvan and got stuffed by him. He's crying out for a step-up in trip. Ran really well in the Supreme last year. We all know how good that form is. Henry de Bromhead's great trainer. I think he's a big price in the JLT.
Yeah. The market for the JLT as well changed significantly on Sunday. We probably should mention that. Kalota Vic all but came down at the final fence in the Grade 2 Novice Chase in Leopardstown. Remarkable performance from both horse and jockey, because Ruby was down to where he lost an iron, didn't he? And to get back up and win that race is phenomenal. And he's 7-2 market leader for the
JLT. Just shows how good the horse is as well. What a performance from the horse. Incredible. Will to win. From the horse, and Ruby, how he even stayed on, I'll never know. So both horse and jockey have to be credited immensely. He was cut from 6-1, I think, to 7-2, wasn't he, for the JLT. William Mullins came out yesterday and said that will be the aim. Incredibly good performance, and he's trodden that well-trodden path that which Mullins go down. We saw it with Sire de Champ in that conditional jockey race at Cheltenham, which, of course, Kolutovic won last year, and he's looked more than impressive in his couple of chase starts this season as well. So he's clearly a horse they hold in very high regard, and he's going to set the standard in the JLT.
Yeah, he sent him the same route as Vettel this year as well, hasn't he? Which suggests that he's always had the JLT in mind for him. And yeah, very impressive indeed. If you get a chance to go back and watch it, anybody who's listening who hasn't seen it, it's a remarkable.
Yeah, it's all over Twitter, so you'll have no problem finding it.
Yeah, great stuff. Anyway, let's leave that there. Let's move on to Tuesday's racing. We're going to look at three races at Ayr and one from Southwell, and we'll get all these thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll spin through these in time order. So we start in the 2:35 at Ayr, which is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles. We've got 8 of them in the lineup here, Ollie. And a couple of these arrive in winning form, Unnoble and Gold Opera. Either of those two on the shortlist?
Yeah, I think Unnoble would be the first one on my shortlist. He beat Iona Days last time, who used to be rated pretty highly. He was rated 125 a couple of years ago. That was a good performance at Southwell by Nicky Richards' horse, Unnoble. And he looks mildly progressive, this lad. He first won off a mark of 103. He rose to 116. Handicapper gave it a chance, dropped it £3, and it won pretty well at Southwell last time. So it has to be the starting point in this race here at Ayr. He runs off £3 higher this time, but he has run off 116 and passed. He's been as high as 118. So he sets the standard, 0-120 this race. The one that interested me, though, at a bigger price was Wolf's Sword. He could well be probably near enough the outsider of the field. George Moore is obviously packing in pretty soon. He still trains it. I thought he ran better than he showed last time. He was held up at Catrick on a track which doesn't really suit. I think going to a longer galloping track will suit him a lot more. He's not really been running particularly well his last four starts, but the handicapper seems to have him in his grip. He last won in May at Carlisle, beat Luckham Dawn, who's not a bad horse of Donald McCain's on that occasion. He was an 8-15 favourite that day, but since then it seems to have the handicapper in his grip. But he's been playing his trade at tracks which wouldn't really suit. Weather being a much stronger race than this, Huntingdon, which is sharp, as is Catrick, back at Ayr, which is a real long galloping trap, I thought at a price around 14-16 to 1, he'd be worth chancing each way. So it would be a speculative selection, but all eight go currently in the 2:35 at Ayr. So speculatively, I'll go with Wolf's Sword each way back to a galloping track at Ayr.
Wolf's Sword then, the selection for Ollie in the 2:35 at Ayr. We move on to the 3:05 at Ayr next. This one is a Class 4 handicap chase. It's over just short of 2 miles. A field of 9 here, Ollie, and quite an open event as well.
Yeah, Willie Hall, the veteran's been running consistently. Won from out of the handicap last time, but this is a much better race. I like the top weight here, Supreme Asset for Donald McCain. He's previously been rated 130. That was less than 18 months ago. Runs off a mark of 117, so a fast plummeting mark. Didn't run particularly well behind Moscow Me at Leicester last time. But Moscow Me had been running well. He'd won 2 of his last 3 starts prior to winning at Leicester. And I thought back in probably slightly lesser race here at Ayr. Track should suit him. Don McCain has his much reduced stringing in not bad form. Brian Harding continue to ride as well as ever, and I thought at top weight the handicap has given him a chance. First time he could race in this company for a good while, so Supreme Asset would be the selection in the 3:05 at Ayr for Don McCain and Brian Harding.
Right, on to the Fibersand at Southwell next for their 3:25. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 5 furlongs. 8 of them in the lineup here, Ollie. And we'll start with Crossfire, who arrives in pretty good nick chasing Hattrick.
Yeah, 3-time C&D winner. It was a career best when he won a 9-runner handicap. That was over course and distance 17 days ago. Does look competitive on form. Kieran O'Neill's had a bit of a renaissance this winter with Richard Hughes retiring, getting a lot more chances for the Richard Hannon team. He rides for Scott Dixon here, who is based near Southwell, has got a good record at the track, and Crossfire, as you say, Mark, is bidding for a treble. But the one I'm going to select here is Oriental Relation for James Given and Tom Eves. A course and distance winner. He's won 3 times in 15 runs last year. He was 3rd of 13 in a handicap at Wolverhampton last time, and it was a little bit surprising that he ran down the field in a useful course and distance handicap on near New Year's Day. But he proved himself to be in good heart at Wolverhampton last week. It's a track which he really likes here at Southwell. So the selection in the 3:25 at Southwell would be Oriental Relation for James Given and Tom Eves.
Oriental Relation for Ollie there then. And the final race we look at is the 3:40 at Ayr, which is a Class 4 handicap chase over 3 miles. A field of 10 to go to post here. Ollie, who do you like in that one?
I like Corb J Island for Lucinda Russell. Derek Fox takes the ride on this one. He's a winner last time. He won pretty well last time by a head at Musselburgh. Derek Fox rode him that day. He was 11-4 favourite. He beat Purcell's Bridge, who's been in good form for Rose Dobbin over the last few weeks. He was second behind him. Prior to that, he'd been second in a decent race at Perth. Graham Waters rode him on that occasion. So it brings decent form to the table. Just Corby J. Island is a competitive race, this. 3 miles going to take a good bit of getting at Ayr tomorrow. The described going is soft, so it's going to take a good bit of getting, 0 to 120. And he's got a decent racing weight here, Corby J. Island, of 11 stone 8, because a lot of these are running from out the handicap, the likes of Carla Starr, My Friend George, and Oil Burner. So quite a compressed handicap. One of the classier horses in the field and one of the few to win recently. So Corby J. Island is a selection in the 3:40 at Ayr for Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox.
Good stuff. All right, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
The 2:35 at Ayr, my selection is Wolf Sword each way. 3:05 at Ayr, my selection is Supreme Asset for Donald McCain and Brian Harding. The 3:40 at Ayr, my selection is Corby J. Island for Lucinda Russell and Derek Fox. And the 3:25 at Southwell on the Fibre Sand, my selection is Oriental Relation for Tom Eaves and James Given.
Superb. Good work, Ollie. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you, Matt.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1 p.m. with Natalie Kerry, Kevin O'Malley and Ross Briley in the studio. It's National Hunt action from Ayr, accompanied by all of the racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.